Book of Mormon, A Great Converter, Elder Almasan, Almasan, Conference Report, April 1953, pages 85-87. My brethren and sisters, I hope all the teachers in the church will have available to them the splendid discourse delivered by Elder Mark E. Peterson. I believe the spirit of the Antichrist is rampant in the world and is asserting itself as never before. That places upon the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints a great responsibility, because it is our mission to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. In this great conference of the Church at this season, we are celebrating two great events, as I see it: the Easter time, commemorating the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and the organization of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints on the 6th day of April, 1830. I have before me the statement made by Joseph Smith, the prophet, relative to the first organization meeting, where six humble men met together and initiated the great movement which is going forward so rapidly today. The prophet writes, "Having opened the meeting by solemn prayer to our Heavenly Father, we proceeded, according to previous commandment, to call on our brethren to know whether they accepted us as their teachers in the things of the kingdom of God, and whether they were satisfied that we should proceed and be organized as a church according to said commandment which we had received. To these several propositions they consented by a unanimous vote. I then laid my hands upon Oliver Cowdery, and ordained him an elder of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, after which, he ordained me also to the office of an elder of said church. We then took bread, blessed it, and brake it with them, also wine, blessed it, and drank it with them. We then laid our hands on each individual member of the church present, that they might receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, and be confirmed members of the Church of Christ. The Holy Ghost was poured out upon us to a very great degree. Some prophesied whilst we all praised the Lord, and rejoiced exceedingly. I need not tell you, my brethren and sisters, that the church, commenced with such a humble beginning, grew and prospered. The organization was completed with apostles, prophets, high priests, seventies, elders, priests, teachers, deacons, patriarchs, and bishops. It was the only church on the earth thus organized. Even though these callings and the priesthood existed in the primitive church, I observed that in the account given of this meeting, three important procedures were introduced. First, the principle of common consent that no man can preside in the church without the consent of the membership. Second, the introduction of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, which was very appropriate because the first principle of the restored gospel is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And third, the ordinance of laying on of hands for the gift of the Holy Ghost when a person is confirmed a member of the church, or when he is ordained, or set apart, for any responsibility in the church. The church, organized in this manner, has from its very beginning felt a strong urge and impelling motive to preach the gospel in all the world, and to build up God's kingdom upon the earth. Not long ago, in Gordon B. Hinckley's book, What of the Mormons?, I read the dramatic account of Samuel H. Smith's missionary journey in the region near his home. It was probably the first missionary undertaking in this dispensation. Samuel was 19 years old and a brother of the prophet Joseph Smith. He carried with him copies of the Book of Mormon in a knapsack thrown over his shoulders. After walking 25 miles the first day, he was refused lodging by the innkeeper. Continuing his journey the next day, he called on Reverend John P. Green, a Methodist minister. Reverend Green accepted a book but refused to buy it during his absence while visiting his circuit. However, his wife read the book, and like many others, was deeply impressed. Mrs. Green urged her husband to read the book. This he did, and as a result both joined the church. Samuel H. Smith returned from his mission, somewhat discouraged, feeling that he had failed, but, unknown to him, the book had fallen into the hands of Brigham Young. He read it and began to investigate Mormonism. He did so for 2 years, and then he, too, joined the church. Samuel H. Smith's mission had not been a failure. The book distributed by him and others also fell into the hands of Dr. Willard Richards of Boston, Massachusetts, who, when he had read the first page, remarked, "Either God or the devil wrote that book." When he finished the book, he concluded it had come from God, and he, also, joined the church. Later, the volume was read by Parley P. Pratt, a minister in the Campbellite Church. He was similarly impressed and joined the church to become one of its outstanding missionaries. I read his testimony. "As I read, the Spirit of the Lord was upon me, and I knew and comprehended that the book was true as plainly and manifestly as a man knows and comprehends that he exists. My joy was now full, as it were, and I rejoiced sufficiently to more than pay me for all the sorrows, sacrifices, and toils of my life." Parley P. Pratt took the book to his brother, Orson Pratt, then a young man 19 years of age. He, like the others, read the book and became a convert and a great power in the church. One of the mission presidents stated yesterday that 25% of the converts in his mission were brought into the church through reading the Book of Mormon. Surely, it is a powerful book. It is a great converter. It should be read and studied by all Latter-day Saints, for it will strengthen their faith and give them courage and hope to go forward in the great work of the Lord. The church from its very beginning in this dispensation has put forth every effort, it seems to me, to tell the world about the restoration of the gospel and the mission of Joseph Smith, the prophet. This impression came to me with great force as I read an epistle to the members of the church under date of April 7, 1851. This was less than 4 years after the pioneers entered the Salt Lake Valley. The epistle was signed by Brigham Young, Heber C. Kimball, and Willard Richards, and was addressed to the saints scattered throughout the earth. I learned from that epistle that all of the 12 apostles were then abroad except Wilford Woodruff and Ezra T. Benson. Their president, Orson Hyde, was in Canesville, Iowa. Parley P. Pratt was on his way to Chile. His mission was to all the lands bordering the Pacific Ocean. Orson Pratt was somewhere in the States on his way to the Valley to become associated with the University of Deseret. John Taylor was in Boulogne, France, preaching, publishing, and translating. Lorenzo Snow was in Italy, visiting the Italian states. Erastus Snow was in Copenhagen, Denmark, where he was translating the Book of Mormon. Franklin D. Richards was presiding over the British mission with headquarters in Liverpool, England. Amos Lyman and Charles C. Rich were on their way to the Kahan Pass, and George A. Smith was presiding in Iron County. All of them were preaching the gospel to every nation, kindred, tongue and people. What better evidence could they give of their sincerity and integrity? The best leadership of the church was surely needed here in the valley, where the foundations of a great commonwealth were being laid. Cities, towns and villages were being laid out and settled. Churches and schools were being erected, and roads and bridges were under construction. But the paramount obligation resting upon the church then as now was to preach the gospel and to proclaim the divine mission of the prophet Joseph Smith. In this tremendous responsibility, the leaders of the church have been diligent and determined. May we be given the faith and the understanding to continue in this great enterprise and thus discharge the solemn obligation resting upon all of us. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.